in 12 months, in 24 months, when we talk again, this becomes a reality, is your enterprise is going to change their websites to an immersive website. And then everything is immersive. You have a product showcase, which is happening in the enterprise space, in the B2B space, in a very immersive manner. People are coming in and seeing it.
The world of marketing is changing, and to keep pace with it, you need to create a new point of view that is original, authentic, and engaging. How to go about doing that? Stay tuned to the Marketing Redefined show. Hi, Piyush. Welcome to our show, Marketing Redefined. How are you?
I'm Muskan. Thank you. I'm doing very good. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I'm actually very excited about this interview. And to start it off, I would really like to go ahead and ask you about yourself. Please tell us something about yourself.
You know, generally, there are very few people who ask me that. It's just the first question. You know, because we are in the metaverse space, people ask me, okay, what are you doing there? So there is rarely people come in, how are you, or what, who you are. So, you know, I'm glad you're asking this question. But I have to say, I'm happy to be part of this show. I've listened to you, earlier, some of your podcasts, I think you did a phenomenal job. I have to congratulate you.
Thank you.
Who am I? Okay. By heart, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an innovator. I like doing things which others are not doing. You know, I like looking forward in the consumer space, in the marketing space, and saying, okay, how can I impact that space before anyone else? I take a pride in that. So that's who I am. And, what I've been doing is I've been running organizations for almost a decade and a half or so. The first was I was running a sales and marketing organization, and then running a tech marketing organization. So in that sense, I just love scaling up organizations from one country to, you know, multiple countries in that sense, right? And I enjoy... what I've enjoyed doing this in almost these two decades is working with younger talent. I think the energy that they give is just phenomenal. So, if you look at it, I always work with people who are younger than me and better than me. You know, so that kind of keeps me young. Honestly, age is catching up, so I still have to take care of that aspect of it. So that's who I am, and I enjoy traveling. I travel a lot. People are really worried about mostly the family that, okay, when are you back home? But I kind of travel a lot, meet a lot of people, enjoy talking about, now the new passion is tech. So I really enjoy talking about tech to people across the world. So that's who I am.
Wow, that is a lot of things packed in one person. But how did this transition happen, Piyush, from marketing to then investing your time into technology? How did you decide that?
Glad you asked that question. I was sitting with someone yesterday, and I was just, naturally throwing some jargon, not knowing that it is jargon for the other person in the tech space. And this individual has known me for a very long time. And then, I haven't heard something like this, from your side, earlier. So did you always knew it, or you kind of, gone through that learning curve? So I said, before I jumped into tech, my tech knowledge was like just nothing, because I am a hardcore sales and marketing guy, trying to sell or market products for our customers to their consumers. So that's what I've been doing, from background, right? And then when I moved to tech, it was, so what I like as a person is I kind of say, okay, what is the future? And then can I get there? I think the tech journey also happened that way. While we were, for about a decade and a half or so working on the sales and marketing space, we realized that, the next revolution in this space would be the MarTech space, right? The marketing technology space. And I started jumping in there, and when I get in, I get in like, okay, I have to know it. It's not just knowledge from the, top view, but can I go in deeper? It took a while. I'm still learning, honestly. But, I have had good people around me, who would, bear with my stupid questions that I ask and say, this guy is running a tech organization and he's asking this kind of a question. But then thankfully, you know, their patience helped me learn through it. So there was a time when I was, you know, learning blockchain. And I was, you know, who was teaching me? There was a fresh graduate from a technology institute who came on board, you know, learned about it. And then he would take classes, you know, I would call it classes because it would go on for 3 hours, 4 hours, you know, and I would ask questions which are like, why is he asking these questions? But that's how the transition has happened. And I think I just love what I do right now.
Wow, I think so. It's a very overused line, but you're never too old to learn anything. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you actually enjoyed it is why you survived for 3 hours, because I cannot imagine myself learning blockchain or some so trivial concept like that for like 3 hours. So kudos to you, first of all. And I can totally relate, Piyush, because me, myself, being from a marketing background, I too have just started right now. And I'm just learning constantly, and I have to evolve also at the same time, because the times are changing and the technology is rapidly coming into our lives, and, you know, knocking at the door and being like, you have to pull up with me, otherwise you don't have any scope. Absolutely. In this industry. Moving from there to your brand, Wosmos, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. What is Wosmos? How did you start it? Where is it going?
You pronounce it perfectly, right? So that's a good part of it. And some people are able to get the term. So Wosmos stands for virtual cosmos. So the virtual cosmos. So which means that we are in the virtual world building a universe. So we're building a virtual universe. Yeah. That's what Wosmos stands for. And, you know, again, it's been a journey we've evolved, right? We kind of seen the trend on, you know, how people consume content online, right? And where will the world go from here on? People are talking about Web3 and stuff like that. But instead of Web3, we wanted to say, if the transition has to happen, how will it happen? And that's where Wosmos came in. Wosmos has four pillars to it, right? We wanted to build something which is immersive and beautiful, which is engaging, which is easy to use, and which is data-driven. So these are four aspects of Wosmos, which is there, and I'll cover that, you know, in next few lines. But just to give you what we do in that space, you know, how you consume content right now, we're trying to make sure that your online world becomes better. So we're not in the space of changing your physical world, but we're in the space of making your online world better. So for example, the stuff that we're doing right now on conversations we're having conversations on virtual hospitals, virtual universities, virtual hotels, virtual, you know, retail stores, virtual art galleries, and all of that, right? So if you look at it, when I'm talking about it, while a lot of people put us in the metaverse space, but we say that we're a meta commerce platform, right? And Wosmos, you know, if you look at it, it's a, and I don't know if you've heard this term earlier, but the reason we kind of, you know, went ahead with this term rather than the very commonly known metaverse term is because, you know, what we believe is, you know, that if this whole piece has to survive, commerce has to happen. Only gamification will not help, this whole concept survive, right? And unfortunately, the entire world talks about gamification, yeah, but you know, Wosmos is a meta-commerce platform. And hence, what we're doing is, when I'm talking about virtual stores, right, we are actually helping brands go online, build a store, and sell from there, right? So so you're actually seeing the, you know, outcome with, you know, which you want to see in an immersive platform rather than just the gamification part of it, right? And that's where it comes in. So if I have to take the consumer from where they are to an immersive world, right, it needs to be beautiful. We all thrive on the look part of it, right? It needs to look nice. And if you look at it, you know, whenever you get a chance to experience it, go experience Wosmos.world, you'll see that every aspect of it is, you know, that gives you a little bit of an aha moment. And I'm not talking just from an Indian context. You know, over the last few years, we've shown it to people across the globe. And the joy that it gives when people see it and then say, we've not seen something like this. This is so beautiful, right? So I, you know, you have to experience it. I can't really kind of tell you. So that's where the beauty and the immersive piece comes in for us, right? Again, if one has to be online, then engagement becomes super critical. You just can't go, you know, look something and get out of it, right? So hence the amount of conversation or, you know, conversation that one can do online in Wasmos is really amazing. So you can do chats, you can build your own networks, you can, there is selfie, there is quizzes, there is polls, there is almost everything one needs to, you know, be on a platform like that and then, you know, not get lost or not get bored. Right? So that's where the engagement comes in. Right? The third is the data-driven part of it. Everything we do that becomes important. Data becomes super critical. So a world where, you know, when you go online, eventually, it is your world. It is not a world that I have built and then you are walking in. It's a world that understands you and then gets customized basis who you are. Right? And that's where the data piece comes in. And the fourth piece, which I think we are doing very differently, and that is where Wasmos kind of stands out, is we believe to do it for the larger audience than just the set of people who are fairly tech savvy. So hence, we are not focusing on the VR devices and AR devices, because what I feel is that's still a long way where each one of us will carry a VR device and roam around and consume content. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Right? So if I have to kind of make this available for larger audience, then it had to be done in a way where you can use most of the content on your smart device. And that's where the ease of use comes in, right? So that's where Wasmos is right now. It's not replacing your physical world, but it's basically enhancing whatever you do online, right? From learning to play to shop to interact, you know, work. Can we make it better? Can we make it more impactful? Can we make it more immersive? That's what Wasmos is.
Wow. I mean, I think so that this is really wonderful, and I need to check the Wasmos world first and really learn for myself also, because with the changing times, I need to be updated, and this sounds really great. And I think so you touched some nerve when you were entering with Wasmos and a concept like this, because I was talking to this brand only yesterday, and the founder was into retail and e-commerce both. So I know that retail has a very special place and it plays the role that is not replaceable as of yet. And you know, the feel, the psychology that a human being works with is that, you know, retail can never be replaced. You can never replace an experience that you get when you walk into a store and really touch and feel the products or services that they have to provide. But at the same time, to reach that level with e-commerce and with, you know, such virtual reality is really amazing. And I think so you actually touched that nerve and are bringing something different to the users, so that not only retail, but their e-commerce experience also becomes as nice as possible. And talking about that only, now you are actually a force in the marketing world from what I've heard and from what you've told me. So where do you see this headed? Like, when technology is holding its hand, where do you see it headed? What's its future?
You've been kind of, you know, thank you so much for saying that. But I've enjoyed my journey in the sales and marketing space. And I've seen how, you know, things have evolved from pure, you know, on-ground marketing to digital to tech playing a bigger role, right? And I see that more and more that will happen. More and more tech and marketing will, you know, join hands. And when I say tech, I'm just not talking regular tech, but I'm also talking data. So these three, a combination of it, will play a very big role in how a marketer, you know, you and me are marketer in some sense, right? How we kind of plan our strategies across when we are wanting to reach out to a particular target audience, you know, that becomes very important, and tech will play a big role in that space. And even for the consumer, right, who's trying to consume content, when people like us are marketing, right, they will start, you know, seeing it differently when they look at tech, because the amount of information which they already are exposed to is huge, right? I think tech will then start playing a role and saying, do you want to see this? You don't want to see. I know you better. So hence, you know, this might make sense for you. And, you know, consuming content online might make more sense. You know, I can go deeper into it if you want to. You touched about the whole e-commerce part of it, right? And I'll kind of just give you an example how marketing and tech can play a role in this.
Sure.
Look at it. You go online, you know, you shop. It's just an experience. It's not, you know, it's not really giving you a huge touch on, oh, yes, I enjoy this space. Okay, I'm there in e-commerce space. I like this. It's on discount. Let me buy it. And if I want, I can, you know, return it. You know, that's kind of, you know, look at the mindset. How can tech play a role in this? I think the tech plays a role in this. If you look at the virtual stores that we're talking, right? You're literally walking into a store, which is, you know, as close to a, you know, on-ground experience, which is there. And then almost like touch and feel. And I'm sure as the tech evolves, you will be sitting at home and try the entire piece, you know, with AR, it is possible. How can we do it without AR? I don't know. But imagine that and then taking a call and saying, hey, you know, I am good with it. Let me buy it. Right? So the chance of you returning the product goes down because you've taken a more informed way. Right? The other piece it plays is right now when you're buying it, you're rarely able to have a conversation with the sales executive. The tech, because it's become so simple, you can actually have a conversation. You know, in a store of ours, you can go and have a conversation with the tech, with the sales executive, and then buy. You will not return it, right? So while it kind of plays or impacts it from a marketing point of view, I think the sustainability part, which a lot of times in the conversation gets missed, is also important because currently, if you know, there is about 25-30% return ratio of the product that gets bought on e-commerce. Imagine, you know, trillions of dollars of industry, 25%, you know, goes back. The whole wastage that happens because of this is humongous. Imagine if by tech playing a role in this, you can solve it and get it down by even half of it, right? It's huge saving across. I think I love the journey of how marketing and technology are coming together. One just has to embrace it and keep learning and evolving along with it.
True. Very truly said, because now I'm not sure about the brand, but it's a sports brand that came out with this idea that, you know, NFTs are a good way to save this wastage because, you know, through NFTs, you're already booking your product or the shoe that you want to have and it will be made only in that sense or only in that amount of number. So now you're actually cutting down of the wastage of the manufacturing, all the cost that goes behind it, as well as having some real-time customers and some real-time profit earlier on. And then you're providing it in the future. So I think so. The time's changing. These things are coming in and making life more simpler. And the whole environment sustainability thing that we keep talking about and telling brands that, you know, you should cut down or you should do this, that. I think so. It could also be taken into perspective with times that are coming in. And as you mentioned, Piyush, it really took me a while to understand, really, because it's a good thought process. But at the same time, now, there are traditional ways of building a brand, you know, and ideology, but now they're soon getting replaced with our digital marketing campaigns and how we're looking at world, really. So do you think that they are changing these traditional ways, or do you think that they are there and moving ahead with the new times, or they are going to be replaced now or like layered upon with this technology and the metaverse thinking?
I have to say, this is a very good question. And I'm a marketer at heart. As much as I do tech, marketing is you know, cool may type, you know, it's there, which is how it is. And I believe that, you know, traditional marketing cannot go. The way you build a brand has to continue. Digital marketing has come in, and I think it's been beautiful for a lot of people because what it's done is, you know, you know, it was almost impossible for a startup to reach out to the kind of customers that they can now, you know, and digital marketing has played a role in that. It's just that what I believe is that it's what is not been able to do is build brands. You know, I've seen and we've done a research, we've spoken to a lot of people. A lot of times we go look at Instagram, there is an ad on for a product, you buy it, and next you don't know which product, you know the product that you bought, but you don't know the brand at all, right? So, you know, and that's happened with me, and we've seen it happen with so many people that you just don't have a brand recall, You know that, okay, I bought from Amazon, but you don't say I've bought, this brand, right? The bigger brands are okay because they've built it. They've followed the traditional way of marketing and they've built their brand. So hence people know about it. But what happens to the younger ones, the startups? How many startup brands we kind of really know that, yes, they're doing, this exists. Right? So hence I think then it will be more of a layering rather than replacing also. From where I see it, I hope people understand that. But, with the investment community and all that, you all are looking for a quick buck, growth, all of that stuff, not seeing, okay, has it really making an impact in the customer space? What I feel is what the whole virtual space can do, right, is bring back the sensory marketing. If you look at it, right, if you remember, the marketing books have always spoken about, the whole, the touch, the feel, the smell, the sense, it kind of helps you, the colors, the music, right? It kind of helps you connect with the brand, which the digital world unfortunately has taken that away because it doesn't give you that kind of opportunity. I think the virtual world will give that, right? The immersive world will, what you've seen is, look at it this way. If you are going and shopping online, right? You're looking from an e-commerce space, you get into a virtual world, right? As a brand owner, I'm a startup, I don't have, I don't have the money to open up a store physically because it's expensive. And I have to rely on an Amazon and other e-commerce space to help push my product. But how do I build a brand? I say, here is a store. You build your store with your colors, your music, your customer executive experience, the way you put the product, all of that stuff. And let the customer walk in. Right? What you've seen is invariably the customer remembers that, okay, I walked into a brand like this. I kind of, walked into a store which kind of resonated with me. Right? And hence, you will go back to the store. You'll not miss it that which was that brand, right? So hence, I think that's where the sensory marketing comes in with the virtual world. And then technology always kind of adds to it. So no replacement. It's just adding. And people who understand it will be able to create a brand. People who don't understand it will have a short-term gain or up period. But otherwise, those brands will be forgotten.
I think so. Marketing is becoming more accessible now for brands like what you mentioned as we're getting into digital and all that. So I totally agree with your point. But a very small question to it was that for these startups that are coming in, do you think these startups are going to get affected with how digital is coming in a good way or in a bad way? Because they might not have, as you mentioned, these huge budgets for these campaigns that used to be in the earlier traditional marketing.
I think that's where the tech has to evolve, right? The startups will always benefit, right? That's something which is there. But the tech also has to keep their customer in the center of it, right? For example, when we are trying to build the whole virtual world, and for us, our first set of customers are brands, whether it is a startup or an enterprise trying to kind of, connect with their customers. So we build everything around it. It means that can a tech organization make it easier for a startup to go online and create their own experience? I think that's where the evolution has to happen. And that's a psyche change which has to happen in our country. Look at it this way. Suppose today, we're launching a product which is a DIY store. You can go and build a store of yours in 10 minutes and go live, right? Unfortunately, India doesn't have a very active DIY mindset that I will do it myself, right? You do it for me. I'm not going to do it, right? Whereas the Western world, they just do it themselves. And hence, they are able to kind of adapt to tech like this and build. I just hope that the younger generation, which is coming up with the whole startup concept and all, they're able to pick these aspects of it. Because the moment you get into a service mode, then it is going to be expensive, right? And digital marketing is not going to be I should not say cheap. I don't like that word, but will it give you an ROI? I just don't know, because it is, you know, it is the top 3-4 who kind of rule digital marketing, right? While you have thousands of digital marketing agencies, eventually it all lands up to the top 3-4, which you know what I'm mentioning, right? And it will, so hence for startups, it just becomes difficult. For example, for us, when we were marketing in US, right? It was so expensive because, you know, we didn't have a control also, right? We put some money and hoping that people will see those ads and then come to us. Right? And that's where digital marketing kind of has its flaw from where I see it, right? The whole CPC and all of that are, you know, numbers that come in digital marketing is just not, you know, good for a startup, right? So I think hence, if you create a brand, word of mouth still becomes the most effective way of marketing. For a startup has to believe that. You know? Second is repeat customers. You kind of have to make sure that once a customer continues to be your customer, right? I think the virtual world will help you achieve that in a very, very cost-effective manner. Right? I think that's how I see the tech or the virtual world supporting the startups.
But it actually reminded me of our own scenario right now, because podcast is a top of the funnel service for us, right? And that's when people come and tell us that, you know, how many downloads and impressions we'll get. So we tell them this only, that, you know, if you want this rapid, to be rapidly famous instantly and all that, we can give you paid ads, but there is no guarantee that, you know, if you're going to get these views or customers or not. So it is a long-term brand building thing. And any amount of marketing won't really matter if your product or ideology, or as you said, word of mouth is not strong enough. But coming to the question of the R that even you mentioned, nobody asked me, how are you doing? But everybody asks you, what is going on in this world? Is this only now that, Piyush, how do you think the metaverse will unfold and transform enterprises in the coming time?
I have to take a breath for that. I don't know, right? It's still early days for metaverse, you know. But I can tell you, you know, what you've seen from the conversation we've had with people across. And when I'm saying across, we've had conversation in India, we've had conversation in the APAC region, Middle East, quite a bit of conversation, US, a lot of conversation. We're going to Africa. Let's see what that country has to say. But what's happening is, people want to kind of take the next step in the enterprise space, right? People want to say, okay, how do I kind of give my customers a better experience, right? They're all done with the whole website concept of it. Okay, I'll get my customer to my website and all that. There are very few kind of go and read the website these days, right? That whole concept of, okay, now everyone is saying video is a big thing. Or everyone is making video. Which video you will watch and which video you will not, right? And all these clicks and impressions are, you know, games of numbers. It's, you know how it works. So for enterprise, the way we've seen, like I said, you know, there are people who are saying, can I connect with my customer before the customer comes and speaks to me in a more transparent way? I think that's one thing which an enterprise will see. You know, they are using this to bring in a lot more transparency to their customers from a virtual world or metaverse, so to say, right? The other piece they're seeing is there's a lot of ROI from a cost efficiency point of view. You know, look at virtual events, right? Just take that as an example. It's about $114 billion industry, right? And then still, if you look at it, you don't hear that too much. You still talk about webinars and all that. Imagine moving to a more experiential conversation. For example, we are talking, right? Imagine if you were talking in a more virtual immersive world, right? When someone listens to us, they're also seeing the environment and all that, right? And then kind of the impact is, you know, again, the ROI part of it, right? You don't have speakers to fly in, you don't have customers to fly in, you can just do it virtually in an immersive manner, still tell your story. So that's the other part that is coming in, right? So then there's a lot of ROI in that aspect of it, you know, and in enterprise, you know, the whole learning part of it. The whole journey of how do I make sure that, you know, when new joinees come in, for example, you were talking to a large automobile firm, won't name it. The whole thing that we're talking about is how do we kind of, you know, build a system where, you know, learning can happen for people joining and trainers present across the globe in an immersive manner, right? So phenomenal in that space. So according to me, every enterprise is visualizing it in their own space and then, you know, setting it up and using it. So you will see it. You'll see a lot of that coming in. And while we talk about enterprise, one huge change which we see will happen. And I hope, you know, in 12 months, in 24 months, when we talk again, this becomes a reality, is your enterprise is going to change their websites to an immersive website. And then everything is immersive. You have a product showcase, which is happening in the enterprise space, in the B2B space, in a very immersive manner. People are coming in and seeing it. For example, we've done a project for a large tech brand which wanted to showcase their tech product as piece of art. Tech product as piece of art. So we created a museum, immersive museum, and put it there. Now imagine when you kind of walk in an immersive museum and see the product, you are able to kind of connect it beautifully, right? Rather than, you know, saying, rather than just talking. So I think that's where the enterprise is using it, and every conversation is beautiful. It's just very, very exciting to see how beautifully people are thinking, not just what we are doing, but I think when we speak to them, the enterprise piece of it, when they tell that, you know, can we do this? And we're like, we didn't think about it, but they're looking at it. For example, in US, a gentleman walked in and said, you know, I like this. Can you use it? Can we make a virtual hospital? And honestly, I was blown away. I said, we've thought about everything else, but not hospitals, right? And the example the gentleman gave was beautiful. You know, a lot of patients, when they walk into the hospital, they are already in a different state of mind. For them, you know, to figure out things is so difficult. But if I can tell them beforehand how the facility looks like, how the whole piece works, how the procedure is going to happen, you know, and let them experience that. So when they come in, they're mentally better prepared. I said, that was, you know, phenomenal in that sense. So I think it's about how enterprise, how creative the enterprise is, you know, they'll be able to use it that way. It's a open, clean canvas right now.
That's actually a very beautiful amalgamation of human brain creativity and actual virtual reality. So that's, I mean, to see what future holds is something really exciting. And I think so a lot could be done with it. And at the same time, now we discussed it a lot and we already see it with even your website and other websites doing it and all that, that marketing is already somewhere or the other affected by metaverse and this virtual reality. Do you agree to this?
Oh, it is. Absolutely. You know, I don't think marketers can, you know, close their eyes now. In fact, the good thing about marketing community is that they're the first ones to adapt it in that sense, right? They'll say, okay, you know, naya kya ho raha hai? What's new in the market? I want to kind of try it out. So that's the beauty of this community, which is there, right? So hence, a lot of people are already, you know, looking at it and saying, let me try. Let's see what happens, right? So hence, hence it's a important thing which marketers are picking it up. And what is one big thing that will happen in this space for marketers, and some of them are realizing it also, the whole marketing ad tech space which is there, right? In the metaverse, in the metacommerce space, how the ads will work, right? For the marketers, I think that's a learning phase for everyone. We are also talking to a lot of people. It's interesting how people are either able to adapt with, like we adapted to the digital marketing and the ad space in the digital marketing. That's where it will start coming in, the ad space in the metacommerce space. So imagine if Muskan walks in, she sees ads which are related to her, and then, you know, the marketing team has to make sure that it makes sense, right? So the extent to that, you know, it will be able to tell the marketing team whether Muskan looked at the ad or not, right? So marketing has to kind of fall in place with this, and they'll enjoy it. I think people are just loving it. It's very refreshing.
But I guess that's why we believe that, you know, conversations are the best starter, because as you mentioned, marketers are always, you know, they have this curiosity factor that they want to learn all the time. So that's exactly what I'm doing with this show. I'm sitting here and learning all that I can from all of you talented people. But great insights, Piyush. And slowly and steadily, we are coming to an end, sadly. But this question is now more on the a bit of the negative. I won't really say it because negative is a very huge word. But to more of a concern, sort of, that, you know, what exactly could be a very big concern about Meta or Metaverse in terms of branding and the service sector?
No, it's about how you look at it. Metaverse, unfortunately, started with a lot of mindset of gaming and gamification. And a lot of people continue to put that up, right? So while there are brands who, you know, got onto Metaverse, you know, and trying to kind of launch their product and, you know, talk about that or not, it still revolves a lot around gamification. And I think that's where a slight challenge kind of continues. I've seen a lot of people talking about Metaverse globally, but again, trying to focus on, can I have an avatar? Can I kind of create, you know, get them to dance and jump and stuff like that, right? Rather than focusing on the commerce part of it, right? I think that's where I see it. I'm a business guy, you know, along with the marketing. For me, that ROI becomes very important. And hence, I think that's where I see a challenge, because what happens is, you know, while some people are talking about commerce, a lot of people are talking about gamification. So hence, a lot of people are getting switched off, saying that, okay, this is just not for me, or my customers are not going to kind of use it. You know, if you have to download a 1GB file or a 2GB file, it's just impossible for most of the people to download and use it, right? So I think that's where I see as a challenge from an industry point of view. You know, the faster people understand it and, you know, say, okay, I want to first get my customer from step one to step two, rather than from step one to step 10, things will become much better. And that's the only challenge. Otherwise, you know, it's an exploration world and it's just beautiful.
But that's actually daunting that, you know, for two different people in a conversation, for example, they're talking about Metaverse itself, but their language or their understanding could be really different from what the other person is understanding. So that's that's weird and maybe good at the same time. But great insights, Piyush. Had a lovely time talking to you and understanding really what is this world of Metaverse and technology that is playing the role these days in marketing and branding and all that. So thank you so much for coming on the show and talking to me.
No, thank you so much. I enjoyed the conversation. You know, if you were able to learn from it, you know, I am glad, because that's the idea, you know, to kind of share what we've been doing so far and learning. It is a journey, but yeah, it's just been fun. So thank you so much for having me in the show.